This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
Hi guys, welcome to yet another episode of We Are Curious, brought to you by the Kenyan Wall Street and HISA team. So this week's episode is brought to you by, of course, our sponsor, which is HISA. And HISA is Africa's first crowdsourced investing platform that makes financial markets social. So it allows users to buy fractions of Kenyan stocks and US securities, as well as follow other investors as they discuss wealth and investments. Also, you can get HISA on the Google Play Store and iOS, where you can read real-time business news as well as access this and many other episodes by the Kenyan Wall Street team and guests.
Yeah, welcome. Thank you, Ali. I think it's also important to say that the buying and selling of shares is not live yet, so that is still under closed user testing.
I was manifesting.
Okay, good going. Yanis, you're saying something?
No, I'm not saying anything.
Okay, well, great. So we have a couple of cool things to discuss today, and let's start with cryptocurrency.
Where do we start?
So on the African front, we had the Central Bank of Nigeria putting a few regulatory thresholds towards accessing cryptocurrency on the grounds that it is affecting the local currency, and we had players like Binance who had to hold trading in the market.
Yeah. By ConsAfrica as well.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's interesting given that Nigeria is the top search country for Bitcoin or crypto, and the second largest crypto trading hub. So obviously that was major news on that side. For ourselves here in Kenya, I think that has been in place quite a while since CBK distanced themselves from Bitcoin. I am on the fence. I have mixed feelings about that.
Really, which ones?
I don't like that. Obviously, they put a clamp on BTC, and because there's been a lot of Nigerian startups and companies that have been on the forefront of just advancing BTC and crypto, and the rest of Africa was actually watching Nigeria's the template for what could be with crypto and Bitcoin, and given that now we've gotten to a point where CBK their central bank decided to ban it, I think it's a bad precedent, to be honest. But again, most governments across the continent are very shy or afraid of crypto. So most of them have adopted a wait and see approach, which has been good, and which I think has been the one that has been favoring countries like Nigeria to just explore, go ahead and allow companies to explore it. But seeing them actually clamp it down is really a sad state. Yeah.
Felix, I know you're one of the Bitcoin owners within our circles.
I don't want guys to attack me out here. looks like I own every asset. Don't worry, guys, they're in very, very small quantities. Hi, everyone, this is Felix again. Just to say something that I know most people have not mentioned. Last week, due to unavoidable circumstances, we were not able to hold the podcast, the We're Curious podcast, but we hope that you forgive us, of course. I know we had a lot of listeners in Uganda that were really, really curious to know what was happening across the East African space and also the global markets, but we're back this week. speaking on Bitcoin, I think there's a lot of news looking at it from the local context, the sub-Saharan Africa. I think it's a bad move by Nigeria to ban trading on cryptos, because you know it's they might say that there's an effect of cryptos on the local currency, but is it only Nigeria that's trading on cryptos? Because this is now, you know, this is a whole new global network.
Yeah, yes.
And what is it that the country is giving out if they're locking in investors from accessing certain assets? I don't think that's a good show. And we are moving from Uganda, we are going to Nigeria. Guys on Nigeria, that's a boo to you guys. Just my take, the Nigerians in Kenya, you guys are my buddies. You can invest in Kenya, so don't be afraid. You can access those BTC websites here in Kenya.
You know, there are
This is not a recommendation.
Yes, please.
thank you for clarifying. But then after now that, you know, CBN actually released a statement and said that their position is nothing new, and it's something that it's been their position since 2017. And that brings us to the question now, where will Nigeria goes? Where will Nigerians rather go? I was reading something earlier from CoinDesk,
mm-hmm.
which claims that Nigerians are now adopting, you know, P2P platforms to trade BTC. What does that mean for, you know, the rest of us who are looking at Nigeria as a template?
I think obviously, given that once the regulator clamps down on sort of like the main avenue, there's going to be now move towards P2P exchanges, because at least for that, it's an agreement between me and you to send you BTC and you going to send me cash, be it in card for Nigeria, or, you know, PayPal or whatever, or mobile money. So P2P exchanges are going to see much more traffic, but again, the problem is now there's more oversight. So at the end of the day, again, given that most of these exchanges are known, there's going to be more government oversight, and they would be considered breaking the rules that have been set in place. So I think it was a sad moment for, you know, the African crypto space. But now on the flip side, on the global side of things, I think Bitcoin has had one of the best weeks or 2 week stretch, with just all the major players actually affirming their support. I think an hour ago, JP Morgan also said they are open to trading crypto if their clients basically ask for them, which again, obviously their clients are going to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this follows earlier news by MasterCard again today to allow trading of Bitcoin on the platform. Yeah, so I know, Leah, you've been following that closely, so maybe you can also share that and your thoughts around the same.
Okay, first of all, I'd my thoughts on the Nigeria story, the Central Bank of Nigeria. I think the market, the reasoning with Africa, the market is very volatile. You can see, like, Elon Musk will tweet something and it will change the Bitcoin, like the performance of Bitcoin suddenly. So I think with Africa, we are more rigid to change. Like, we are not yet there. We are not yet there at a point where we are going to be like, we are going to accept the fact that a tweet can change our, like, what we are receiving, our markets. We are not yet there as a nation yet. Not a nation, a continent yet. I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry. It's a continent.
Uh-huh.
But on Bitcoin, like, yes, it has really been growing following the MasterCard. We had also seen BlackRock.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we also saw Visa. Visa had also allowed their vendors to start. They'd also said they'll start trading, allowing their vendors to receive payments in Bitcoin, okay, in cryptocurrencies, but mainly it's about the Bitcoin, which has really been hitting the news on the market. So yeah, I think in for us in Africa, we are yet to be there, but we are going to get there. Yeah.
Do you think it will take time?
Okay, let's see. What will take time is if Bitcoin performs well, maybe this year, by maybe half this year,
mm-hmm.
maybe we'll start seeing African countries accept it slowly
mm-hmm.
by slowly. Because for us, I think we are really, we are not the experiment. We want other people to experiment. Then
mm-hmm.
we see if it's a success, I think African countries will also get there.
Okay. Is that,
I
is that the government view or individuals, the experimenting part?
Yes.
I think it's the government view. Individuals, people are interested in Bitcoin right now. Like you'll
mm-hmm.
see someone, people are already talking about Bitcoin. You'll see someone, even if they don't know they're talking about, you'll see someone tweeting about it or Dogecoin. You'll see them talking about the cryptocurrencies, but we don't yet have that information in the market. Like, what is happening in the Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies world, because we really don't cover it in Africa.
But you're covering
much.
It.
Yes, we are covering it in the trading room and at Kenyan Wall Street. You'll find we are having a segment for cryptocurrencies. We'll be updating it often.
There's been a meme out here that
trust that to bring memes.
No, like yeah, because I've seen Leah say that Bitcoin has a little bit of high volatility. I would agree.
Mm-hmm.
There was a meme out here where there are these guys in spacesuits and they're like, and the guy would say, one hour of investing Bitcoin is like 7 years of value investing. So I would really want to just, in my honest opinion, I think it's time when we adopt to markets that are volatile. Because it's the same way, why wouldn't the CBN, why wouldn't they ban Forex? An example, Forex trading.
Mm-hmm.
Because the same volatility we experience in Forex trading, which I think directly affects the currency, is something that, in my opinion, I think it's almost the same volatility we have in Bitcoin. And any other cryptocurrency assets that the CBN had banned.
True.
So my challenge would be why only Bitcoin? Why only the crypto space? If they don't want guys manipulating the currency, which I believe, and this is a personal opinion, but I have there's been cases and there's been a lot of analysts claim that CBN themselves manipulate the Naira. So that is a personal belief, not a view of the whole team. Why don't they start by just having a little bit of a discussion around it? You've seen Kenya has made a few restrictions, and I know there's been discussions with Patrick Njoroge, the Dr. Njoroge, the CBK governor, and places where he's said openly that he doesn't agree, but the CBK is always open to discussions around blockchain technology and everything else. So why is it that African countries, why can't we be more welcoming? Why do we need other nations to test, as Leah put it? Why do we need other nations to test? There's a time back then when I saw a discussion and somebody said, Africans have no right to claim for the vaccine, because when other countries are making efforts to get access to the vaccine and also control the vaccine, Africans are busy waiting for the last bit so that they can be able to get the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we want to be involved in global developments, that is including tech, AI and everything else, we need to start getting involved. So in my opinion, I honestly think that some stuff like cryptos and the entire blockchain technology, we need to start accepting it. We need to start integrating some of these things. Blockchain, I know there are a few, I know the Ministry of Lands had said they were bringing that in, but why can't we now start doing some things like cryptos? Why don't we start accepting cryptos? We can actually, it would actually be very interesting if some country in sub-Saharan Africa becomes the first country to officially accept Bitcoin as a mode of payment. I know, sorry, I know IMF and WB want to be open to that idea.
Mm-hmm.
But come on, guys, I think this is something we can do. To those central bank guys listening in,
your shout outs as usual.
We can do it.
Yeah, and on that passionate note, I think maybe, I hope we get an African country being the first to accept BTC. but I think they would come after Miami. So the mayor of Miami did something quite significant yesterday. So I think he set up a task force, and what he's done is he's going to allow some of the employees who want to be paid in BTC to actually pay in BTC. He said they are also looking at allowing people to pay taxes via BTC.
Wow.
And even going further to looking at having some of their revenue collections or expenditures put in BTC. So I think I think that's the first state organ that has actually come out clearly and said, for us, we are open to actually exploring Bitcoin and seeing what value it has for our state. So it's pretty interesting to see what comes out of that, because I think the mayor, Francis Suarez, I think he's very bent on making Miami the new Silicon Valley, as he says. So we are watching, Francis, and we hope that you actually go through with those plans, because I believe it could now open the doors for more governments, more states, more organizations to actually explore that aspect. But again, something we've not mentioned is Tesla's decision to put 1.5 billion worth of BTC on their balance sheet. And interestingly enough, whatever money they put in BTC has brought them more returns than
they've ever done in 13 years of making cars.
Of actually selling Tesla cars.
Yep. So it's quite crazy.
Model.
In a month, they've made more than they've profits they've made from selling cars in 13 years. So it's
Eric. I have a question.
Yeah.
When you mentioned Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Elon knew that the company had actually put money in BTC and so he rallied? Because you remember, I think about, was it 2 weeks ago when Elon and Jack put Bitcoin as their Twitter status and Bitcoin rallied? At least there was some, because Bitcoin had started coming back down after hitting, I think, 35 USD.
Yeah.
And it came all the way down to about 30. And then Elon and Jack did that, and you, all of a sudden you saw the Twitter rallying all the way back up to 33 USD before finally picking up a new rally.
Mm-hmm. Again, my own personal opinion. I think there's a tweet that Elon put out last week when he was hyping up Dogecoin, where he called himself, I think, the destroyer of shorts.
Yes.
that sounds very presumptive to me. I think at that point he had already made the decision to put BTC
on their balance sheet.
Yeah. So, but again, it's been a crazy 2021, because it's just been BTC news, good BTC news after the next, after the next, after the next, and the rally that has taken it to 48K. I think it's been pretty interesting and good to watch. And again, mentioning Jack, he's teamed up with Jay-Z. To create like an endowment fund for India and Africa, so companies working in those places where they can use the 500 BTC fund to just make sure they are developing solutions or use cases for BTC in those places, Africa and India. And I see our good friend Michael Kimani applied to be a board member. Yay, Mike. We are rooting for you.
We support you.
We see the work you do with Blockchain KE, and we support you wholly. I hope you get a seat or maybe even just some funding to advance what you do in this space.
So here's a challenge to those African countries that are still waiting. You're seeing the SEC accepting Tesla's books, actually, with Bitcoin. That means they've allowed companies to actually invest as long as the board agrees that the company can invest in certain assets, then that is something that is good. So why are we finding it illegal? Last year, companies made a lot of losses. Companies that are listed on the NSE. You'd imagine what the returns would be if our banks, instead of Before I say the next statement, before I mention the next statement, the guys at Central Bank, I know you guys are looking for funding every day. You guys put up bonds out there and treasury bills, but this is my comment. Our local banks are actually the highest investors in the local money market. That is the treasury bonds and also the treasury bills. So my thought process is, what would really happen if Equity Bank would take its fixed income book and put it in cryptos? Right now, I think they would have made almost more money than whatever they've made over the past close to another 20 years that they've been in this space. So that's something that I think we can let our companies start investing in. I don't think it's something bad. CBK should just allow investors. Actually, if KRA would invest all that money we get, no hitting on the government. Sorry, the KRA is another. That is the revenue authority for another country.
We digress.
No, I'm actually happy you came back to this space. You know, following sort of the Miami mayor's position on BTC and the conversation that we just had on, you know, volatility. What would be the impact of, you know, making government payments to, say, employees and allowing taxes on BTC? Like, how would volatility affect sort of BTC after it is adopted from a regulatory point of view? Because I feel like that is something that definitely governments have thought about, and it's definitely something that they're weighing.
Okay, so look at it this way. So when you join an early stage startup, one of the key things as motivation or as, you know, is giving you shareholding in the company. So they give you like what, let's say 1% shares in the company.
Mm-hmm.
So for you, you know that at some point it will be way more valuable than it is right now. So it's not that you're being paid your full salary or your full remuneration is in stocks or BTC for in this instance. So you're choosing a percentage of your earnings, which you would treat them as an investment or assets, you know. So you put that into BTC. So I feel like it's the same thing, because again, analysts have done lots of projections around Bitcoin, and it's expected to hit crazy figures. You know, I've seen some saying around 387k USD this year. So it's from that angle of, you know, if I can get paid and have an option to have, if I'm saving 5% of my salary and have that saving rather than saving it go into an investment in Bitcoin, it makes sense for me. Understand? So I feel like it's a choice that we're giving those the people to actually make the choice and say, I want an investment in BTC rather than having all my money up front right now.
And maybe for those who are wondering, you've probably seen the rocket, mostly when people talk about going to the moon. This is where it picked up. It actually picked up on Bitcoin. The distance to the moon is about 384,400 kilometers. So Bitcoin going to the moon, analysts actually project that by the end of the year, Bitcoin could actually be trading as high as about $300,000. That is analyst recommendation. Please, if you need to buy Bitcoin, ensure you do your own personal analysis.
All right.
Moving on swiftly.
After that disclaimer.
Uh-huh.
I know, I feel like every time Felix talks, there are those caveats that you literally have to
mm-hmm.
wait for. Let's talk about Microsoft, which was, you know, reportedly made an offer to buy Pinterest.
I don't know how I feel about corporations stacking up social platforms.
I think it's good. Microsoft has been a giant out here. Come on, guys.
Well, it is.
Come on, guys. Come on.
I hope they turned up the offer though.
Did they? No, it's still ongoing.
How much are
it would
they?
Be a
playing?
Sad day.
Was it 51B?
51
sad day.
Okay. Anyway, Jackson and I know Eric, who's out today, they have very special interest when it comes to to large corporations holding on social media. So I don't know. I don't know, Jackson, would you, if they acquired, do you want guys to quit Pinterest?
No. Obviously. I like Pinterest so much because it's your
man is telling you anything.
Yeah, like it's that place you just go to collect ideas and have a wish list, you know, those things you wish you owned, like that yacht. So I don't know how I feel about Microsoft seeing me on LinkedIn and then again seeing me.
Let's move away from Eric's feelings, which is, you know, the big corporations owning social media, and actually look at, you know, Microsoft itself. Last year, Microsoft was part of the consortium trying to acquire
TikTok. Yes.
And then now they're out here trying to acquire Pinterest, which is valued at, you know, 51 billion, which is almost twice the value of their last acquisition, which was LinkedIn.
Yeah.
There's word on the street that Microsoft is trying to sort of collect a range of, you know, active online communities, you know, like TikTok and Pinterest, to run on a cloud computing platform. What is Microsoft up to? A, B, what are we looking at with regards to cloud computing? Again, going back to a few weeks ago with the news of the new Amazon CEO being a cloud guy, Microsoft CEO cloud guy, what are we looking into? Sorry, I cast such a wide net.
I think first of all, I don't think that well, this is my opinion. I don't think that acquisition will be allowed for two reasons. Currently, Facebook have an ongoing case. Because I think it's the SEC, they want to undo the merger with WhatsApp and Instagram, anti-competitiveness, obviously. So there's already that mistrust from the regulators about big corporations acquiring communities that would act as competition to them. So for me, I feel like they might hit some regulatory snags. Of course, Microsoft is big enough to lobby and get approvals. But I see a case where in the next 1 or 2 years, we are going to see a lot of acquisitions not going through or companies being separated.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Facebook, a very key case in point for this. But looking at now cloud and data, I do not think Microsoft need to buy Pinterest at 51B for them to be a client on their on their cloud services.
Right.
They need to do a better pitch or up their product offering. But in terms of just cloud taking over, if you look at what companies are doing at the moment, even Apple and everything. So every company wants to be a service company. So obviously Microsoft moved away from being Office to now being just more services on top of what you can do with Office. And you see Apple also doing that shift towards services, you know, selling more services, your Apple, your cloud, your music, your podcast, your news, your TV One. So there's that shift towards services. And when you shift towards services, we already had the shift whereby we are not storing all our infrastructure on physical servers to the cloud. So it makes sense that when a company is shifting towards services, they're being supported on a cloud. And that cloud support obviously means that the person who's generating the most revenue in the company needs to understand, you know, that cash cow for the company, so to speak. So that's where you see the shift even in Amazon, whereby, because Amazon Web Services is actually the biggest profitable business. It's not the online store, what you think Amazon is. It's actually the AWS is more profitable than the other businesses. So it makes sense that when Bezos is stepping down, the guy coming in is actually the guy who understands AWS.
Mm-hmm.
So he's able to push Amazon to be now a fully fledged services business. And grow the cash cow, which is services and cloud and all of that. So I foresee the same happening with Apple if in the near future Tim Cook steps down. because by that time, at the moment, I think cloud contributes 30%, if I'm not wrong, of their revenue. I could be wrong. I think 30% is a projection by 2023. So you see, by that time, they would need someone who's actually very service driven to actually run the company. So it's a good shift for those companies. I hope locally we do the same. I have been waiting for Safaricom to be a services company, but again, that's a discussion for another day. Yeah. Could you correct me? What was services contribution to Apple revenue?
I'd literally have to check. All I know is that in 2019 they actually raked 4.5 billion from iCloud.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to double check my numbers
okay,
myself.
Sure.
Well, now that you mentioned Safaricom, let's kind of move closer to home, and this week has actually seen quite big news for, you know, Kenjen, and I hope this is going to be the time where our energy expert Eunice will get to speak up. You know, Kenjen announcing their dividends and raking in the geothermal power deal with Djibouti.
I think in terms of dividends and the money coming in for Kenjen, we'll have Felix focus on that. But Kenjen got their third international contracts in one way to mine or to drill power.
Mm-hmm.
This time they're doing it in Djibouti, Eritrea. Before the first contract or the first deal they secured was the one in Ethiopia. I think it was a 5.8 billion deal. Then the second one, still in Ethiopia, but also in collaboration with Rwanda and, let me confirm my number, 7.6 billion deal to drill in Ethiopia and in Rwanda. So I think it's a pretty big project, or it's a big progress that Kenjen is doing, especially being a woman, having Rebecca Miano lead such a big company to prosperity and to outside the borders of Kenya. I think it's a pretty big achievement.
I have a question for you.
Shoot.
Can we have Rebecca on the podcast soon?
I have to jump through hoops, but there are hoops I'm willing to jump to actually get. That would be interesting.
I think from... if you think about companies on the local market that are well run and have a good vision, I think Kenjen is up there.
Yep.
And given that she's really rallied it to have a clear vision, we are now number 7 in renewable energies
globally.
So it's really not talked about enough, but I think she's done an incredible job, and we should have an interview and a podcast.
So probably a shout out if you're probably part of the team that, if you're close to Kenjen CEO and the team that runs public relations at Kenjen, we're officially inviting Rebecca Miano to our podcast. Please let us know. You can write us an email to the team, info@kenyanwallstreet.com or editorial@kenyanwallstreet.com. We'll be happy to host you, Madam Miano.
That would be interesting, actually, because I don't think there are many Kenyan companies that have gotten the ability to actually expand. We have Safaricom, which is trying to get into the telco
mm-hmm.
business in Ethiopia.
Yeah.
But the strides that Miss Miano and the team, I save the team because she's at the helm,
mm-hmm.
meaning that she's leading a very competent, a very educated, a very dedicated team into this prosperity. So I think it's a really, really big achievement.
And also, just to mention something, I think it was very awesome for the company to to pay out dividends.
Yes.
To investors. We saw 2 days ago Kenjen pay the treasury about 1.15 billion or about
yeah.
1.5 billion.
Yeah,
1.5.
Yeah.
Yeah, about 1.15 billion in dividend payouts to the government. And as shareholders, I know that's something that is very interesting, considering that very few companies manage to pay out dividends over the past year.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause we even saw companies that have been heavyweight champs in dividend payments back out. We saw companies like Equity Bank pull out on dividend payments and not even issue a bonus. And Kenjan came in here to give it to shareholders. And speaking of that, I think we also need to give a shout out to Safaricom. You guys surprised us on 10th, giving us a dividend, an interim dividend for the first time. Peter Ndegwa, thank you. We appreciate you as shareholders for Safaricom. I own only 100 shares for Safaricom, but that's something interesting.
In the next podcast, we will introduce quarters for shout-outs because I feel like...
I think going back a little bit to Kenjan, I think what has actually helped them, it's their ability to change and to adapt to the new projects, sorry for the pause. But I think last year they announced for All Career 6 that they are going to build. It's through a public-private partnership,
mm-hmm.
which I think it's a good way to fund new projects, which are normally pretty expensive,
yeah.
and to not burden investors and not to burden the government with high costs, but looking at it through a private funding in a way brings in more money and actually ensures that they continue making money. So they, on both sides, they're making money for investors and shareholders, and at the same time they're producing power, and at the same time they're becoming a big name in Africa. So
yeah. To Kenjan shareholders, I think the future is bright.
Very bright.
So maybe, as a usual, do we call shots on Kenjan, Ali?
For me, I think, and I know Rebecca reiterated that they still have plans to do the 8 markets across Africa. So, you know, man, I'm all in.
All right. Eunice, are you in?
Very in.
Yeah, are you in? Ali?
You know it.
So, as usual, we always call shots. We are calling shots on Kenjan today. And once again, remember, this is not a recommendation. But we call shots. If you can buy Kenjan, in my opinion, personal opinion, buy. Do your own research and buy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, now that we're on Kenjan, you know, KPLC.
Kenya Power, KPLC.
Kenya Power.
Yes.
I take it back.
I feel like we should have started with the bad news.
Man, you just brought in the good news and then...
I mean, next time, you know. So, Kenya Power hinted, rather, its entry into, you know, into the solar business. And I think this is motivated primarily by the movement of a lot of institutional clients to adopting cheaper and sustainable power sources. Eunice, what do you have to say about that?
I mean, I'll wait and see how they execute it. Saying is one thing, actually to execute is a different thing.
For me, my challenge is Kenya Power is tasked with distributing power. So how are they going to get into the solar business? Distributing solar power panels.
Installing solar power panels. They're just trying to be relevant.
No, but for the green.
That is one way to say it.
Chills.
Actually, what KPLC said, what Kenya Power said was that they were planning to begin installing solar panels in private houses and office blocks. But here's my comment to the guys at Kenya Power. Kenya Power is getting into the solar business when we're already starting to see a massive shift from the electricity that KPLC is providing to solar energy. While we're going green on solar, I think we need to note that the main reason why we had all this start is because, number one, unreliability of power distribution by Kenya Power. We've seen power cuts happen almost on a day-to-day basis. And number two is the cost of electricity in the country. Kenya's electricity, there was a post by one of the analysts somewhere, and I remember someone had put up where he said the cost of electricity in Kenya is one of the highest in sub-Saharan Africa. So as much as there's a time when Eric Jackson had actually mentioned that Kenya has one of the largest, Kenya had experienced one of the largest, the fastest electricity connection due to the last mile connectivity project over the past few years. But the cost of power has constantly gone up, and totally not in a bad way, but I think Kenya Power and the government have refused to listen to consumers on the cost of electricity in the country. And so guys are constantly looking for a cheaper option. So my opinion would be, if you see the price at which KPLC buys power from the power suppliers, other partners like KenGen, if you see the price at which they buy it at and the price that they sell it at, it's way too high. Why can't they start? And I know KPLC is going to a loss, but yes, there was mismanagement in the company. That's why we had all these losses. My personal opinion once again, but why wouldn't we have? And that has been shown where we're seeing the company was buying transformers that they knew were faulty, and the transformers are out here that are lying and lying out in fields not being used. My opinion would be, why don't we have the company just focus on generating revenue, but at a lower cost to the consumer? We already have higher taxes in the country, and it's also it's going to be very challenging if every time we have the higher taxes that guys are charged everywhere on all products, even electricity. Man, electricity is now becoming a utility.
I think so.
That's why I said we should have started with the bad news.
Felix is frustrated.
Felix is very
well.
We shall arrange an podcast with you to vent.
I don't know if you guys paid power. Have you guys paid power and you see the taxes that you charge and you ask yourself, do some of this stuff even make sense?
Railway levy fund.
Railway levy fund.
I think
I don't know, because I honestly think we should pay if there's a railway levy, then why don't you pay for KenGen levy? Because I don't know, do nowadays KPLC, the power lines, do they run under the railway line?
Mm-hmm. I think
I'm hurt, guys, at Kenya Power. Ali, that one has touched me. I'm sorry, guys, but that's KPLC news. Because KPLC has one of the highest potentials in terms of returns to shareholders and in terms of company revenue. And if you're seeing the mess that this company is in, it honestly sucks, in my opinion. I think that it's not fair seeing a utility company that has potential. Companies like Umeme Limited in Uganda is being run more professionally than Kenya Power is being run, yet they run the same business model. I personally would buy Umeme, and that's why Umeme is trading higher than Kenya Power. That's not a sentimental thought, but that is a true reality. So guys at KPLC, you need to change on this.
I think there's still a lot to explore regarding the nature of cost of electricity, and of course the movement towards more sustainable sources of power. And I think one of our own in-house team members, Eunice Thairu, is underway creating such an informative podcast with conversations featuring thought leaders in the energy space, just on the cost of electricity in the country, going into details on, you know, the amount of energy that is produced versus the amount of energy that is consumed, all the way to, you know, how increasing demand through, you know, lowering costs could, you know, implicate power consumption in Kenya and might spell something for KPLC. So I guess we will have to wait and see when Eunice's podcast will be out.
I don't want to count my chicks before the eggs hatch, but...
You're very optimistic about KenGen, now you're...
No, but really, it's a very interesting project, or more or less a research that I'm trying to undertake with one of my friends who is in the solar industry. But the idea is to try and see if the hype... So the idea is solar is cheaper than normal grid.
Mm-hmm.
electricity.
Yeah.
So my research is to try and see, to actually do it practically. So I get someone in the industry with my limited knowledge in renewable energy, and we try and calculate the costs under solar powered households or utilities run under solar, be it lighting or be it like solar heating, water heating,
or a Tesla.
See, as far as because, do you know there's e-cars? No, I'm digressing, but the idea is to do a calculation or to do a cost analysis of having a fully powered solar household or having a grid powered household or a hybrid of those. Just do a breakdown of costs in a very understandable, in a very easy to understand way. So it's upcoming.
Yeah. Talking about e-cars, the e-bikes that I think the, what is it called? Affordable Mobility Project by UNEP.
Yes.
The ones they brought. I just saw a tweet on Twitter when they were being assembled. Yeah, so that's pretty interesting. Because there's more and more shift towards saving the planet, sustainable energy. So Kenya Power, I believe it's your heart is in the right place to jump on the solar wave, but we hope it goes well.
I think, for example, for e-cars and e-motorbikes that are coming in, if Kenya Power can, or through other means, through a private means, if they can actually capitalize on providing charging stations for the e-cars that are coming, that would be a very good venture to dive in.
Who's going to build Kenya's first electric car charging network?
Because
that should be the question.
Kenya Power.
I listened to a certain YouTube video, and there is the existing e-vehicles, the Nopia Nopia rides, they already have their own charging stations, but they're strictly for Nopia rides. But then what about these other e-vehicles that are coming in?
The other day I saw a Tesla. I wonder where that guy charges his car.
I think we should do a research and reach out.
Fun fact, there's more electric car charging stations in Japan than there are fuel stations as of last year.
Oh.
Yeah.
Kenya Power, I hope
you miss. At times it's always so interesting to see how other nations are trying to probably curb carbon emission and go green, and we're seeing sub-Saharan Africa just seated there. I think it's so painful.
Yeah.
It's very sad. I really wish that sometimes somebody would just come in and call shots and say, no, we're doing this as Kenya, we are doing this as Rwanda, we are doing this as Uganda, Tanzania, as
and
Nigeria
as well.
Yeah, some of these things just need a little bit of regional support, probably even if it's in the East African region or any other place. I think it's something that would be very interesting.
Definitely, and I think that would be something amazing to talk about in our next podcast. Let's put it up on this one. Thank you so much for joining us in this episode. Again, shout out to our sponsors, HISA Technologies, which is offering amazing and insightful data on markets, finance and investment, as well as various conversations with thought leaders in the industry, hosting many amazing podcasts, including this one. Download the HISA app on the Apple Store and the Google Play Store. See you in the next podcast.
When we'll be more curious.
Where we'll be more curious.
See you guys.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in.